Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you we can gather before you, and we commit this time. We pray you speak to each one of us, speak into our hearts, and transform our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A month ago, I have been sharing about disciple training. Indeed, the best life we can have is knowing God, serving Him. Not just get baptized, but in our whole life, we become His disciple. And Jesus called us to be His disciples, to learn from Him. So after we are saved, we want to follow Him. How? In what way? So we need our life to be transformed. A life without discipline is a life with no purpose. A life. Our life should not be like on holiday all the time. We should be vigilant. We should be knowing what we want. If you have a purpose, you know, all these Olympic medal winners, they have a clear target in their mind. They want to get their medal. For us, we should have a target in our mind. If you your life is purposeless, then you have no restraint. For those who are taking in competition, they have restraint in their life. They won't eat certain kind of food. They'll live a very healthy life. They won't follow the flesh. They won't have time for many addiction. All their life is well, that time is well spent. They won't waste their time. They won't live a lazy life, lying there, doing nothing all day long. They have passion. They have a driving force. Training after training after training. They know what they are doing. They know why they sacrifice. They are clear in their mind. How about your life? How do you spend your time? How do we use our time? If our time is well spent, we can see there will be changes. There will be growing. There will be growth in our lives. And not just growing, the gifts God has given you will be developed. Every Christians, God has given you different gifts. And when you use your gifts, you can serve Him. You can find the purpose for your living. But life with discipline, we have a purposeful life. We are managing our impulses and emotions. We won't be swayed. People say, doing this is good, and we'll be following them. You know, all this, if you hear the siren in a fire station, all the firemen immediately, even though they are maybe watching TV, even though they may be having a basketball game, suddenly the siren rang and they suddenly respond. They won't be, oh, I need to finish my game. I'm level 10. No, they'll drop everything and immediately respond to the call because there's a call. Someone's life is in danger. So they control their impulses. Oh, I want to finish the game. Oh, let the fire burn, let the house burn, let the people die. No. They will control their life. Do you have control in your life? Do you have emotion? Oh, I'm too tired. I don't want to read Bible today. I'm so sorry. You know, we are following the flesh, but following the Spirit. You will have efficient time management. You won't, comparing this year. Today, what have I, this week, what have I achieved? You are making progress. You will be diligent. You will have passion in life. Why do so many famous movie star or singer, take drugs. So much pressure in their life. They need something to sustain them. They need drugs. But how about us? What is pushing us ahead? Is it our ambition? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it concert after concert? No, our life has a passion to serve Him. I'm not talking about one day passion. I'm talking about consistency. Because growth needs consistency. And gifts development takes time. Just like playing the piano. It takes time to learn. Day after day. If you are determined to follow Him. Once I know Christ, I decided I want to know Him. I want to serve Him. I have decided. I want to know about Him. I will study my Bible. I don't care how difficult it is. I will study it. I'm not smart, but I will study it. I may be slow to learn, but I will study it. I have decided. Once I decided to follow Him, I make up my mind. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there are challenges, but I will face it. I will deal with it. I can't understand it all, but day by day, I'm going to learn more and more. Once someone has decided and find a ground, like a tree, finding the ground to get its roots down, has a foundation. This person stands in times of storm or floods. This person can stand. He becomes reliable. I can rely on you. For example, next week, Caleb, you take care of the AV. I can trust him because he's doing it for the Lord. Makes himself someone that can stand and reliable. Like a pillar in the house. So when I do disciple training, young people, I expect you to stand firm. Look to me. I'm talking to you. I expect you guys to stand firm in times of trouble. To stand firm in trials, to serve God in coming years. I don't want to waste your time. I want you to be useful in God's kingdom. I want you to be responsible. I want you to be trustworthy. I want everybody can rely on you. Make yourself useful in God's kingdom. Make your life useful in God's kingdom. So this is what I've shared last time, actually. And I mentioned six areas. I mentioned Bible study, prayer, spirit. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about spiritual growth. I don't have time for 4, 5, 6 years, but I will do it later, step by step. But when I go home, I realize I want to talk more about Bible study and prayer. So again, I'm going to talk about Bible study. When we study the Bible, why do we study the Bible? When you open the Bible from the Old Testament, you seem to get a lot of facts. All these facts becomes information in your mind. But I don't want you to, I got this fact. Like you study a history book. It's not about information. When you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. When you read it in your heart or in your mind, I hope you can hear God's voice to you. You know, when you talk to somebody, what words he's using, you can hear, if you hear carefully, you can hear the feeling. You can hear his heart. When you say, when you go home and talk to your parents, maybe say, your mom will say, "Oh, it's such a tired day." You're not, mom said, "This is a tired day." As if you can hear her voice. And you can feel as if, oh, if she wants my help. Or she wants encouragement. Somebody say, "Oh, it's a difficult day. I'm so sad." If you know him, you can, if you know a person well, you can just listening to the word, how he stopped, look at his face as expression. Sometimes you don't even have to look at his face as expression. You can, by listening to the word, why he choose the words, how he repeated such words a few times, then you can hear his voice and can feel his heart. So Bible study is not just getting information, but hearing God's voice. And not just hearing the voice, not getting the message. You start to know about him. When God's creation, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Wow, such a majestic declaration. Is declaring such beauty as if I make this all for you. You see, I make this all for you. I make this all for you. Can you feel the sovereign God declaring how he has done this for us? So I want you, when you read it, you can know him. For example, when you read Genesis, when you read how God's creation, wow, he's sovereign. He has the authority. He has the power to all this. And in my mind, I can see, as if I can see the whole picture, like a movie, the world, the stars, the plants coming up. I can see the wisdom. I can admire, wow, such creator. And I can feel the love. So when you read the Bible, not just information, but as if you can hear his voice and you can know about him. Creator, you know something about him. So, wow, he's great. And when you read further down from chapter 12 onwards, you can see how he called Abraham, how he called Isaac, how he called Jacob and make promise to them, how telling them his plan, "I'm going to bless every nation through you." Then you can see there's a God who has a plan, who made promise, and how he keep his promise. Wow, God is a faithful God. When they are in need, God provide them. When they are in danger, God protect them. And God even revealed names to this patriarch. "I am Jehovah." Then you may ask, what is the name, meaning of Jehovah? Jehovah means, "I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I keep my words." Jehovah, the name is, for example, I can have many names. God can have many names. He's the Almighty One. He's the Powerful One. He's the Creator. But when God make promise to man, he always use, whenever he used Jehovah, that means as if his signature. Whenever he signed a contract, God will push, "I am Jehovah." So Jehovah speaks of God is making promise to man, he will keep his promise. God never change. So whenever you God say, I'm Jehovah, that reminds us, he is the one who keeps his promise. We can trust in him. So we know about him. And when in chapter 15, when God appeared to Abraham, he used another name. I'm El Shaddai, the God who provides more than enough. So if you read Genesis step by step by step, you will find God, not he's more than a creator. He's the one who keeps the promise. He's the one who can provide us more than enough. El Shaddai. So when you read the Bible, not just getting information, you are knowing him. Knowing him by name. Knowing him, and then that will transform your life. When you are in trouble, I'm sure, because God is Jehovah, he will keep his promise. When I'm in need, I know he's the El Shaddai. He will provide me more than enough. Then if I move on to Exodus, wow, 12th plague. Pharaoh wants to kill all the all the male Israelites, but God protected them, delivered them. God can use 10 plagues to come on Egypt. Our God is a mighty God, powerful and strong. He is the deliverer, delivering his people from Pharaoh, delivering his people from the world. He can deliver you from your deep trouble because he is the deliverer. He is strong, stronger than any other idols. And if you go past the first, maybe go up to chapter 14, people start to move into the wilderness. God appeared to Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. That we can know something about him. So as you going along reading the Bible, you are not just reading, not just hearing his voice, you are knowing him. Wow, my God is great. He is the I am. Let me put it this way. I was strong when I was 18, 19, or 20 years old. I changed. I am 60, over 60 now. I'm weak. I will be weaker in the future, isn't it? So I was strong. I am weak now. I will be dead later. Okay? So you see, I am changing. But God is that I am. He never changed. I want to help you, but I get weaker. How can I help you in the future? I can't. But God never changed. He is that I am. That I am. He is still the I am today. In the past, he can deliver Israelites. Today, he can deliver you in your trouble. He is the I am. He gives us the law. He told us what is how to live. God asked the people to build tabernacle for them. Why? Because he wants to live among men. God is the Redeemer, paying the price so that he can live with his people. Live with you. God wants to live among men. Wow, then you know something else, isn't it? In the book of Exodus, you see a God not only delivering people from Egypt, but God wants to live in them. Jesus dwells among. When you receive Christ Jesus into your life, this is the will of God. He wants to live in you. See, he never changed. In the past, he's like that. Today, he still wants to live with us. When you read the book of Leviticus, there are many offerings. Wow, I don't understand that. But if you study the offerings, you study the law, then you know. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 19, it says, "Be holy, for I am holy." God is a holy God. Yes, he wants to live with you, but not with sin. He wants to cleanse us from sin because he is a holy God. So step by step, he created all things. But God loves man. He wants to dwell with man. But he is a holy God. He wants man to come before him in holiness. How? Through the offerings of the Lamb. Through Christ, we can be holy before God. That's the book of Leviticus. Isn't that amazing, God's words? Now, as God lives among these people, teaching them about holiness, God is leading them through the wilderness in the book of Numbers. So people have to learn how to obey God. When the trumpets sound, every tribe get ready and follow God. Israelites follow God in the wilderness 40 years. God lead them into the promised land. Today is the same. God saved you, lives in you, and walk with you day by day, leading you day by day. When people die in the wilderness because they don't obey God and have no faith in God, and they can't enjoy the promised land, it's the same today. Jesus come into your life, we need to follow him. If we obey, if we have faith in him, we experience abundant life. That's the book of Numbers. Isn't God's words amazing? You can see the picture there. We experience the reality today. In the book of Deuteronomy, people don't like Deuteronomy. We don't expect Deuteronomy to speak of love. But actually, in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I love you. And the command is, love me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. So this book talks about when Jesus was in temptation. Jesus quoted from this book. What is the background of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy is the second time. Deuteronomy is God, before people move and stay in the promised land, God repeated the laws two second times to them. Emphasis. Now, people, if you're going to dwell in the promised land, how are you going to live? Then Jesus said, remember, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you want to enjoy God's abundance, the words of God is teaching us how to live in the promised land. How to dwell in his words, living according to him. Why? It's not, if I don't follow him, I'll die. No, we want to live according to him because we want to show our love to this loving God. Knowing that he blessed us, how do we express our love to him? By following his words. So God is, through this, the first five book, we can see God is telling us story. We can know more about him, know more about his will. He wants to save us. He wants to deliver us. He wants us to walk with him. He's a holy God. How can we live according to his words on earth? To enjoy the abundance that is in Christ Jesus. To bear witness to him to the whole world. Our God is great. So just the first five books, my friend. So if you go on to the book of Joshua, go on book by book. Each book we can know about him. Each book we can know about our condition. Each book we can know how to serve him and follow him. Isn't that amazing? We should spend our time wisely to know about our God so that we can know how to serve him. So this is about Bible reading. The ultimate is not just getting information to show people how good I am, but I have a desire to know Him. The more we know Him, the more we fear Him. And not just in fear, but we admire Him. We adore Him. No one like Him. And we love Him. And because of we love Him, we want to serve Him. So, reading the Bible, this should be our outcome. Adore Him, love Him, and serve Him. So, it's not just, you know, reading some articles, reading some words, but there should be an outcome in our life. Transformed us. People say it nicely. Reading Bible is not for information, but for transformation. Your life will be transformed. How nice that is. Okay, let me proceed to the second part, prayer. I came from a Catholic, Roman Catholic background. So they used to recite a prayer. So if you have done something wrong, you go to confession to a priest, and the priest will say, oh, go home and say Hail Mary, this prayer, 20 times, and then your sins will be forgiven, or something like that. So, as I grow up, I used to think, oh, prayer is reciting something, repeating something. Or when I come to Him, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and repeating like that. Oh, that is prayer. As if I do it all by myself. Monologue. I'm just keep on speaking. It's not like that. A prayer, I would say, is as if you come to your close friends. When you come to, if you have a good friend, okay, can I meet you somewhere, sometime? And when you meet him, you don't have a long list. Give me this, give me that, help me to do this. I want this, I want that. I have such a problem. Okay, that's all. Bye-bye. And then you go. No, you are not giving him a long list of your wish list. Oh, come true. It's not nice. I better praise him. Oh, you are so great. You are so kind. To praise him, to please him, and then my true motive is, give me this. This is my Christmas gifts. I want to give you a long list. I want this, I want that. Bless me. Help me. And then bye-bye. No. When you come to your close friends, sometimes there's something in your heart. You just tell him one thing or two things. And then sometimes you really want, as you talk to him, he may respond to you. It's like a dialogue. And then you may talk a bit more, and then a bit more, and then a bit more. So those who really pray will find it's not a monologue. It's a soul talk to your best friend, coming from deep inside your hearts. Not you are repeating something, but spending time. After you talk to your good friend, you'll find a relief, isn't it? When you talk to your good friend, you feel better. This is the prayer I'm talking about. In 1 Samuel, Hannah wants a son. And when he came before the Lord, a priest mistook Hannah was drunk. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. I want this. Pour out my soul. When you pray, pour out something that is deep, deep inside you. This is prayer. You don't want just like, hi, how are you today? Bye. You don't want to go into deep things. If you are close friend, you are just, you know, superficial, social. When I say, how are you? I don't expect you to tell me all your problem, isn't it? Oh, I'm fine. Okay, good, 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 good. So keep it superficial. But when we talk to God, pour out something from your soul. That builds up a deep relationship. So, and again, when you come before God, you are not saying, I want you to do this immediately. You are not changing God. When you come to this Almighty God, who is all wise, all knowing, all love, He's changing you. You have your time. You know what is best for me, Lord. Before that, you were so burdened, so worried when you come before Him. Lord, you know what is best for me. My worry is not needed because you are El Shaddai. You are Jehovah. You will help me. You will keep your promise. Yes, I feel relief. So when you come before the Lord, you're not forcing Him to do something. Because you don't know what is the best time, what is the best for you. He knows. And tune our hearts in resonance with God. When you come before Him, have you done this experiment in physics? I don't know, in high school, there's a tuning fork. Have you ever seen a tuning fork? When you hit the tuning fork, it's vibrating. And if another tuning fork is have the same frequency, this vibration will cause the vibration of this one. So two are in resonance. But if this one hitting this one, and the other one is in other frequency, this one vibrates like that, this one, no resonance. Until these two are in the same frequency, they both vibrate together. So I like this picture. So when you come before the Lord, when you are in tune with Him, if you are not in tune with Him, if you are angry with God, you are not in tune with God. When you come to Him with faith, when you come before Him with faith and fear Him and love Him, you are tuning yourself. And when God speaks to you, you respond. And when you speaks to God, God will respond to you. So prayer is get yourself tuned, tuning your heart, tuning your soul in resonance with God. Lord, thy will be done. Yes. In the book of Jeremiah said, oh, nothing is too hard for you, Lord. And God answered him, yes, nothing is too hard for me. I like that. Both using the same words. Jeremiah, oh Lord, nothing is too hard for you. The Lord listened, and God resonated. Yes, nothing is too hard for me. You are right. So they are in tune. This is what I'm talking about. Prayer, as if you're tuning yourself in the frequency of God and respond to God. And after this prayer, what happens? Union with God. Your will and His will become one will. Your will be done. That means you have given your will. Not my will. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Yes, my will be done. In the beginning, your will, God's will, too different. But when you come before the Lord, resonance. Only one will. Your will be done. Yes, according to you. Yes, according to your time. I will follow you no matter what. Now, this is resonance. This is union with God. Wonderful. The last thing I'm going to talk about is spiritual growth. Now, when we are in union with Him, knowing Him, we are taking grounds like abide in Him, in His words. In John Gospel, actually I mentioned these words before. In John Gospel chapter 15, abide in me. Jesus saying to his disciples, and I in you. This is in union. As the branch cannot bear fruits of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, how can we bear fruit? How can we bear fruit? By abiding in him. Connecting to him. In union with him. Takes time and then your life bears fruits. This is growth. In another verse in Psalm, it's the same picture, similar to the picture. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In this world, there are so many counsels. The influence, maybe your peers, your friends, they are ungodly. Forgive me to saying that. I got ungodly friends as well. They swear, they have no fear or respect to God in their jokes, in their way of living, in their decision. They don't respect God at all. But are we following them? If you are not influenced by God, you are very much likely influenced by the world, by the ungodly. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. Do you have scornful friends or the path of sinners? Are you affected by them, following their way, following their stand, sits with them, have close fellowship with them? But this one is different. He has another delight. So what is your delight? Oh, I love to join with my friends, follow them, pursuing the world. Or you have another delight. Delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Meditates. This word, some people say, is like the cow chewing the cud. As if the cow eating the grass go down to his stomach. But cows can, chewing the cud, it can regurgitate the digested grass into his mouth, chew again, swallow it, come out, chew again, and swallow it. So he repeating this day and night. So that's why we try to remember the Bible verses. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of life that brings forth its fruit. So we have our roots go deep into the words of God. And that brings forth its fruit that will affect your life. In its season, there's a time in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Okay? So this is normal growth. Normal days, we should abide in him, walk with him. But God has a better way to help me to grow in him, to bring us into perfection. By what? In James it says, knowing that the testing of your faith, one day God is going to test you. Sometimes you can't say if this tree is strong. Sometimes you hit it, push it. I hear people say how they grow trees. Some people put the tree, there's an expert there. put a tree up there. Some people water it just around the tree so that the roots will go sideways to get the water. So this kind of tree, the roots are not going deep, but going sideways. And maybe the strong wind blows, sometimes the tree can fall or break the tree. Okay? But some experts, they say, they don't water it that much around the tree. In fact, Because the tree might want to search for water, the roots will go deeper, 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 deeper into the ground. And when the wind blows, because the deep roots in the ground, it won't fall down. So God has a wisdom, I think. So God wants to test our faith. But our roots must grow deep into His words. That's why we need to study the Bible, so that we can have strong faith, good deep knowledge of Him, experience Him. And when, is it strong or not? Testing comes. Remember in the Bible, God called Abraham. Not just got to know him, you want to know me? Leave your country. That's a challenge. I have fear. One day you may face famine. One day you may face your enemies. One day you may find, I have a need. I have no son like Abraham. So in Abraham's life, it's not reading Bible. Abraham's life, God called him out of his comfort zone. So that's why I asked some of the young people, do this, do this, do this. I give you challenges to test you, to help you to stand firm, to grow in Christ. I'm not interested with the technique. I'm interested that you grow down to reach to God and know Him. Let Him teach you how to song leading. Let Him teach you how to share. God will test your faith. Not in easy time. God asked Moses, deliver the people out of Egypt. It's a difficult, difficult task. Or he thinks, I'm doomed. How can I face such enemy? Pharaohs and his chariots and his enemies. How can I face them? Now God will put you to the test. Today, a small test coming up to song leading. Testing, oh, I'm scared. I don't know how. I fear. Testing of your faith, testing you. Hannah got no son. She prayed to God, remember? Pouring out her soul. There may be something, there's a need in your life. Even though you read Bible, you even have a good relationship with God, but there's still a need. Pouring out your soul to the Lord. God put you in difficult situation, brothers and sisters. God will put your faith to the test, not to destroy you, not so that you become a victim, but become a victor to overcome the situation. Then you will know, my God is powerful. It's not in theory, but in your life, God will put you in, allows difficult situation to come to your life. Maybe in your study, in your family, you got problems with your other sibling, you got even have problems with your parents, you have problems with your friends. Someone may bully you, your work, your boss, your friends, you may suffer rejection, misunderstanding. People put the blame on you. All these difficulties, all this are putting you tested by fire. Why? Why, God, you are not helping me? Why, God, you are not saving me? What did Peter tell us? In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Oh, this is hard. This is difficult. This is scary. I never tried this before. Lord, I study Bible. I pray to you. Why do you allow such trials come into my life? Are you want to destroy me? you feel like a victim, but God wants you to be a victor. That genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. God wants to test your faith as your faith is tested by fire. Genuine gold, real gold, may be found to be praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants real gold in your life, not just theory, not just information about God, but it becomes something genuine in your life. This is discipleship. How nice God is allowing us to grow. So let me say, I guarantee you, if you are sincere to follow the Lord, you will face trials. You will face temptation. You may even fail. You may even fail many times. But rejoice. Return to Him. Come back to Him. He wants to test us by fire so that we'll become strong. Our faith becomes genuine. And we can receive praise and honor and glory when He revealed. He loves you. He loves us. He wants to test us so that we become genuine disciples of Christ. This is my message to you. Let's stop here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you want us to know you. We pray when we study your words, we can come to know you and be transformed by knowing you. We pray that we'll know how to always have a prayerful life before you, to connect with you, to be in union with you. And we know one day you allow trials to come into our life. We pray that by you we can stand firm and grow and lead us into perfection, in maturity in Christ. We thank you for your great love, and we thank you for guiding us in our whole life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.